Bahrain sacked its state security chief in a recent bid to convince the outside world that it is serious about implementing judicial and security reforms, as suggested by an independent commission that slammed the tiny Persian Gulf state for widespread human rights abuses against pro-democracy protesters. However, some cynics remain unconvinced. So who should we believe? Tune into The Agenda for another hot topic on another hot debate. A damning report commissioned by the King of Bahrain has revealed how the Persian Gulf Islands security forces carried out excessive force and systematic torture during the People's Revolution. As a result, his government is seeking to form a 20-member national commission to make recommendations by February on how to implement judicial and security reforms. But there are those who believe the exercise is purely cosmetic to pacify Western allies, such as the US, which uses the tiny island as a base for its Fifth Fleet. Now, the political opposition group has rejected government attempts to recruit its own members in trying to form a national commission to push through the recommendations of the report. They claim if the government was serious, resignations and reforms would have followed immediately. They claim the formation of a commission will hinder or delay serious reform. As the crackdown on pro-democracy protests continue, today's agenda asks the question, Bahrain, is the government serious about reform? Sheikh Khalifa bin Abdullah Al Khalifa, head of the much-feared National Security Agency, was booted out of his top job as the tiny Kingdom of Bahrain tries to convince the world it is serious about reform. Some critics say it's merely a cosmetic move, while others say it's a small but significant step. But what do our panellists think? First up is Bahraini exile and political activist Saeed Shahabi, who is not at all convinced by talk of reform. He's also quick to point out that Sheikh Khalifa's fall from grace was cushioned by being given a new job answering directly to the king. Meanwhile, right-wing journalist Neil O'Shea says he is impressed by the content and sincerity of the recent report, which was highly critical of the crackdown on members of the pro-democracy movement. And our final guest is Dominic Havakeb, the political campaign coordinator for the Bahrain Justice and Development Movement. He says while the independent commission inquiry is a small step in the right direction, not enough will come from it. But Neil, I want to start with you first, because let's face it, if the king was really serious about reform, there would have been a string of resignations, meaningful resignations, but nothing so far.
Well, that's true. And I think the king takes a lot of credit for bringing in this inquiry and for allowing it to be published in a free press. But I think we have to remember that the royal family there has complete control over the government. The royal family appoints the government. And the Prime Minister there has been in power for 41 years, unchallenged. He needs to take some responsibility. The government needs to take some responsibility. And I'd like to see that the monarchy become a constitutional monarchy there, where democracy is brought in and the population have a lot more say in how the country's run.
But that's a bit like Turkey's voting for Christmas. I mean, the royal family are not at all interested in democracy, are they?
It's a step too far for them, it's far too radical, but as a fan of the Queen in this country, you can see how a royal family can be very popular in its own country and around the world, as the Queen is, and as Princess of Wales was around the world. So there is a recipe for success in having a monarchy as a figurehead, and if he's popular and has good policies, his people in the country will support him. So he should be a bastion for change, for modernisation, for democracy, to gain the respect of his people and the world. He's failed to do that in the last 20 years.
Saeed Shahabi, who is advising the king? Is he listening to anyone?
Well, I think the king himself is a nobody in reality. I don't think he is a man of his own character. I think he is just dictated to by his senior figures of his clan.
So who's the power behind the throne?
The power behind the throne are the Americans and the British. Not the ruling family, of course.
But surely the Americans and the British would want a quiet life and would be pushing the king to make dramatic reforms.
Well, they pushed him to remove this evil man, but only to be promoted. And I'm more scared now.
This is the head of the NSA.
The head
NSA.
Of the National Security Agency. I'm more scared now than when he was at the head of the NSA, because he could torture me. I could die or could survive. Many of our colleagues died under him. Now he is made in charge of defense. So he has bigger tools of death. He has airplanes.
And he also has the king's ear, Dominic. He's got ministerial rank. And as Saeed said, he's now head of defense. Should we be more scared?
Yeah, I think it's really important that we realize this is not a reform. This is not something good that's come out of the report. This is quite clearly a cosmetic change. And Dr. Shahabi is right to say that he's essentially been promoted to be put as a direct advisor to the king. The only reforms which will really be beneficial to Bahrain to come from this commission is if there's an immediate resignation of the government in whole, replaced by an elected transitional government, which has popular backing, with an immediate constitutional assembly, which will work to create a new constitution.
But
these are the sort of reforms that the country needs to see.
But on the surface, they've held this independent commission. You can't disagree with the findings. You know, the findings, I would have thought, were in favour of the pro-democracy protesters.
I do not. I am against the commission as a matter of principle. You cannot be financed by the person whom you are investigating. This is the basic basic requirement.
Well, that was
of
one of
fairness.
The criticisms. But let's face it: the report itself, when it came out, did identify the brutality and human rights abuses committed by the Bahraini forces. Did it not?
I think. It said the obvious. It has only reiterated the obvious. If the report came out not spelling out that there is widespread use of torture and excessive force and systematic torture, then Mr. Bassiouni and his team would have been disrespected by Human Rights Watch, by Amnesty International. This is the least.
Uh-huh.
But they failed, to call for the immediate release of the prisoners. They failed to call for those responsible, especially the king. They didn't investigate his role. So it is partial investigation. The most problematic crisis has been undertaken by the king himself. So he is at the center of controversy. He shouldn't be the financier, and he should not be excluded from responsibility.
So, Neil, do you think that there should be another independent commission, but this time a truly independent commission?
I don't think so. I think the commission that's just met has been a very successful one, a very good one. It's a fantastic big move for the Middle East to come out and be so outspoken. The commission did call for all those that have been interrogated and convicted of offences to have their convictions analysed again, and those that have been tortured to be compensated. The commission does ask for that. But I think it's a very dangerous place at the moment, because we don't know enough about the opposition, the Shia opposition, who've been accused of having links with Hezbollah and Iran.
The commission denied that. So
That's true. That, at the moment, that does appear to be propaganda. But we still don't know enough about how the opposition could effectively have a leadership
that's
responsible.
Well, on that very provocative note, we'll move over to Mohammed Walji, who went to a famous central London location where a lot of Formula One fans abide, to get the public's view.
I'm here in central London in Regent Street to ask members of the public what they really know about Bahrain and find out exactly how much they actually know. So let's hear what they had to say. Are you aware of the revolution that's been taking place in Bahrain?
No, I must admit, I haven't heard anything about it in the news recently.
Are you aware of the revolutions that are taking place in Bahrain?
No.
Are you aware of the revolutions that are taking place in Bahrain?
I am, yes.
Do you think that they've been covered or overlooked by the Western media?
I wouldn't have said so, no. I would have said what was happening in Tripoli and what's happening in Syria is, and clearly what's happening in Egypt, is higher up the agenda and is more visible. Well, there's been a commission into the uprising and it identified systematic abuses and torture. So why do you think the King of Bahrain has called for a commission to investigate this further? Could this be a delaying tactic at all?
It may well be, yeah. I think he's obviously trying to do something, isn't he? To try and maybe hide his innocence or try and make himself look innocent or try to cover up something. But there's obviously a politically motivated reason behind it.
And do you think the F1 should consider returning to the island or wait until pro-democracy campaigners win their cause?
It's difficult keeping sport and politics separate. If they believe they've got power, then I think if they can use it for good, then they should do it. But sometimes there's a lot of money behind F1. They can they choose to drive their tracks wherever they want to.
I think they should not return to the island until the situation is clearer. And what's the reason for that?
Because I think there obviously are some human rights abuses happening in Bahrain. And if that's the case, then although I think sport should be very careful about how it's engaged with politics, I think there are sufficient precedents to say that the West, I think that they should be extremely careful.
Dr. Saeed Shahabi, would you like to see the West exert more pressure? I mean, losing the Formula One race was quite a blow, wasn't it?
Well, I'm worried about rescheduling the events. Now, I know that in January they will have the Bahrain International Air Show, which is usually organized by Farnborough Air Show Company. So this should stop. Formula One should not go there unless there is serious change and unless those who are responsible for killing and torture are brought to justice. So I don't think it is yet time for normalization of relations with a regime that has been proven to be capable of killing people and excessive use of torture.
Of course, the thing is, Dominic, everything at the moment has been looked to with a context to the Arab Spring. And 45 dead in Bahrain might not seem a great number of people until you put it into context. And if Egypt, with a population of more than 80 million, had suffered the same proportion of deaths, there would have been a staggering 4,500 civilians killed in Egypt. So 45 is a significant number, and that seems to have been overlooked in the media.
Yeah, of course, and I think that's absolutely the right point, that as a ratio to the population, the number of deaths, I think it's the third highest or maybe the fourth highest in the Arab Spring. That might have changed in the last couple of months when I last saw that statistic, but that was quite surprising to see, and you're right, it is overlooked, and of course, you know, even one death is a disaster, and it's not something. And of course, okay, we're talking about 45 deaths since February. Actually, think about all the people that have been killed beforehand, all the people who were tortured and had their human rights violated in the many years preceding February 2011. You can't ignore all of that as well. So, yeah, absolutely, that is a major problem, and it hasn't received the sort of media attention that it should. But I hope this commission might help to do that now.
Well, according to Dr. Shahabi, the commission's findings don't go far enough. So how confident are you that the next stage will be successful?
It's really hard to tell at the moment. I agree that the findings don't probably go far enough. I think the real thing lacking in the report is that it doesn't talk about political reform. It doesn't talk about, you know, what the next steps are. It does very clearly and in a very good way highlight the massive human rights violations, but it doesn't draw that distinction or draw the link between that and the political system. And the reason why these human rights violations are allowed to happen is because you have a flawed political system that needs them to happen.
But Neil, what can be done? I mean, you mentioned before that the Prime Minister has been in office for 41 years without a challenge, which is in itself extraordinary. It's a statistic that's often quoted, and yet he seems to be Teflon coated.
Well, I think he's Teflon coated because to the world, Bahrain did seem a bastion of tolerance previously compared to the bad regimes all around it. It was pro-West in its attitude and its politics. It was friendly to Europe and the USA, which are very good things to be in an area surrounded
but
by...
But so was Gaddafi and Mubarak. You know, they were very pro-West as well.
I agree they were, but they didn't destabilise and go to war as much as some regimes are willing to go to war. But through being friendly with the West, they, Bahraini royal family supported the West in many ways in the Middle East, and it was a very stable country. Plus, it was also a power broker in the region, and it was a useful power broker where it was fair to the West and it was fair to the Arab world. So it does have a good history in the past of being user-friendly and tolerant.
But not with its own people.
Well, that's a surprise, you see. It came as a big surprise, these riots in the spring. We did think it was a tolerant, modern country, and it's been found not to be as tolerant as we thought it was. Although, speaking earlier, it was mentioned by the doctor here that there is very little conflict between the Sunni and the Shia. Normally, they socialise extremely well. I hope that answers your question, that as a history, Bahrain's been a friendly country.
If you were advising the royal family now, what would you tell them to do?
Well, I would tell them to use their power to move slowly towards a constitutional monarchy where they can stay in power, well, not power, but they can stay in position, but try and get the consent of the people to run a government that's fair and open.
Would that satisfy you, still having the royal family there?
I think, especially after the report, which they have themselves sanctioned and financed, there's no room for them anymore. I think they should have the decency to tell the people that we have to go because we have been proven to be torturers and killers.
That's like asking turkeys to vote for Christmas, let's check out the agenda's electronic mailroom to find out what our Facebook fans think.
Thanks, Yvonne. Well, the subject of today's topic certainly produced some deep and philosophical thinking among those who took part in the debate on Facebook, but Imran Hussain from India is a patient man. He advises the reformers, don't worry, time is the witness. However, Naeem Butt in London says, the West can stand together to continue their occupation of Muslim land and to continue killing the innocent unarmed people of the Muslim nations. So why can't the Muslim world unite and stand together to defend its neighbouring Muslim countries and its people? He goes on, don't the leaders of the Muslim nations in the Middle East realise that the Muslim nations being attacked by the West today are the protection and the defence line of the Muslim nations yet to be attacked? Why don't the leaders of the Muslim nations understand if the fire in a neighbourhood house is not stopped, their own house can also be on fire too? Firas Ali from Sweden says, reform could be difficult to get and the king in Bahrain feels safe because of the US support which is managed by the Saudi troops who were sent to support King Hamad. Nothing will change in its current form because those responsible for the abuse can't be responsible for making reforms and changing tactics. He goes on, that is very evident as more people have been detained and arrested and probably also tortured after the release of the report. The only thing that will give them victory is to maintain their protest and continue. What scares a dictator is people who aren't afraid of death anymore. And in the northwest of England, Angus Newman writes, the Bahrain Independent Commission of Inquiry has exposed a lot of the human rights abuses that have recently taken place. Hence, I don't think anyone can say it was a whitewash that many were expecting. I doubt, though, that their report will provide much chance for the national reconciliation that Bahrain desperately needs. He goes on, clearly it was the country's Shia majority that felt the brunt of the crackdown after the protests erupted earlier this year. Many hundreds were arrested, and I'm sure Bahrain will remain deeply divided along sectarian lines. One can see this in the enmity and violence that is characterising so many of the kingdom's citizens today. He goes on, I struggle to see how there will be much political reform and progress in the country while King Hamad is still in power. Well, that's all we've got time for. Back to you, Yvonne.
Thanks for that, Mohammed. Well, in the last few minutes, let's get our guest concluding remarks, starting with you, Dominic. I mean, one of the Facebook people there mentioned the Saudi involvement.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's something that the report didn't really touch on, which is a shame. But I think to talk about the report in general, I think absolutely it was a good thing that it highlighted the human rights violations that have taken place in the country. The most important question now is what will happen next, and unfortunately so far we haven't seen positive signals from the government. Why have they not released the political prisoners they've been detaining? Why have they not reinstated the 4,500 workers who've been sacked from their jobs? Why have they not? Why has the government not immediately resigned? All these questions at the moment are unanswered, and the government hasn't made any positive movements. So I think it still remains to be seen what will happen next. The role of the US and the United Kingdom governments in trying to put some pressure on Bahrain will be quite important to see. It'll be interesting to see what movements they make. So far, they've been somewhat positive, but I think we need stronger statements from the international community, and I think that's what will help Bahrain to reform.
And Dr. Saeed Shahabi, how would you respond to both of those, and of course your own concluding remarks?
First of all, Bahrain's under occupation. This is a fact that is being overlooked by everybody, which is a shame. And we need the Saudis to be out of the country. Secondly, the report has transformed the debate from being a revolution where people want a real change to a problem, to a human rights problem and issue, which is not, this is part of the issue, but it's not the whole issue. Thirdly, as for the people, they have continued their revolution unabated until now, until last night, and until tonight, and until tomorrow, because this time they have decided enough is enough, and we cannot tolerate a regime that has been proven to be by their own commission. It's independent, but it's not independent. I don't know. If it was independent, it would not have been financed by them. So the commission's finding tells us that this regime does not deserve to remain in power, because it is a bunch of killers and torturers.
But they are saying now that they're willing to have opposition members in the committee to decide on the next stage. Surely it's better to be in talking with them than sitting on the outside criticising.
This is rubbish. There is a clear cut case there. You don't need to wait for 6 months before sacking people or putting those torturers to trial. But you have already, you as a government, I'm talking to them, they have already promoted the number one torturer in the country. So what confidence should I have in a regime that has failed to take one single step after 10 months of revolution?
Well, quite a damning conclusion to this show. So that just remains for me to say a very big thank you to our three guests, and we'll see you all soon on the next agenda.